You're Wrong, the podcast where we talk trash about the things people love to hate, hate to love. And we're your hosts, Shelby and Matt.
Yes, and please take your shoes off and take your laptops out of your bag. Those go in a separate container.
Way too polite.
You do not have water in your bag. Yeah, I would be a nice TSA agent.
I don't know. I think they're trained to be dicks. Not according to this movie, but in my experience.
I feel like it's maybe less of that they're trained to be dicks and more of like you're not necessarily getting like the cream of the crop sort of people as TSA agents because it does feel like, case in point, the movie Carry On, there are people who sort of like wanted to be cops or like military or something, but it didn't quite work out because I don't know why you'd want to be a TSA agent. Like, that's not a job that really anybody is looking for.
So and you can have lunch with your girlfriend every day,
I guess. And then also you just you're dealing with the most annoying people on the planet. And I think probably after an hour of working in the TSA line, you're just like ready to rip someone limb from limb. Because after 20 minutes of standing in the TSA line, I am ready to do that. It's wild because it's like we are in the year 2024. You have to imagine that most of the world's population, well, maybe not most of the world's population, most of the population living in America has flown on a plane at least once or like understands it from social media, like knows what's going on. And yet every time I'm at the airport, I feel like half of the people there seemingly have never experienced flight and are very confused by TSA and don't know what's going on and are not operating in a normal capacity.
Because I go to, I've been to a handful of different airports and every single airport has a different system. So it is very discombobulating because some people are like, have your ticket and your ID. I don't want to see your ticket, ma'am. Put that ticket back in your purse. Just scan the ID, ma'am. Where's your online ticket? Can you scan your phone? And then it's like, sometimes they're like, okay, take out your Kindle. Leave your Kindle in your bag. What are you doing? You don't need your own bucket for your Kindle. And it's like, there's no set rule about what to do. Oh, shoes go on the tray. Oh, shoes go on the line. Like it's like every single airport has their own system. I don't know why. I don't know how. But it's like no two airports are the same. So yes, people fly more, but it's also like anybody's guess about what the guidelines will be and how angry the TSA agents will be if you don't follow them exactly. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I think we're sort of talking about different groups of people though, because there's one thing of like, oh, sorry, you put the Kindle in a separate tray versus the same tray.
Yeah.
It's another thing like these people who show up with like, oh, I am wearing giant work boots that have to be that have like 700 laces. Oh, I'm actually like going to go try to go through the metal detector with my phone still in my pocket. Yeah. Oh, I've come with 17 loose like plastic Walmart bags full of things that are all emptying out. Or they get up to the TSA line and they're not prepared to take like anything out. They haven't gone through like their bags or systematized at all.
That's true.
Or at the end of the, once the stuff has gone through the metal detector, they stand at the front of the section and
so
like
rude.
Put all of their stuff on slowly rather than move down to the end of the thing. It's like that kind of stuff should be like, it doesn't matter what airport you're going to, you should know.
Yeah.
While I'm waiting in that line for the TSA, it's like I'm consolidating things. Like, okay, my wallet is going in my backpack. My cell phone is going in my backpack. My AirPods are going. It's like I have done this.
For
I know what the situation is. And it's shocking that people are so bad. I will also say, the best decision that I have ever made in my life is getting Global Entry. Global Entry is life-changing. You get off a long international flight. You are in the New York airport.
Horrible.
You literally walk up to a thing. It scans your face. The TSA goes, Matthew, good to go. And you walk through, you don't have to wait in any lines at all. It's shocking. And you're walking past just like hundreds of people standing there going through regular customs. Yeah. I'm like, this is the best.
You just have your middle finger up.
Ever made. Like, yeah. I'm like, bye. I'm like, I'm going to baggage claim. I'm getting my bag. I'm headed out of here before any of you guys do. And sure, it's annoying to have to trek out to an airport to do the little interview or whatever that you have to do, but it saves you so much time for the next 10 years or however long global entry lasts. It's like, wow, this was amazing. If you haven't done it, you absolutely have to.
This episode is sponsored by TSA PreCheck.
Well, global entry also covers PreCheck, but yeah. Which is also TSA PreCheck. I feel like sometimes is good, sometimes is bad, whatever. Yeah. But global entry is like has never not been incredible for me, and nobody has it. It's like you get off the plane, and I think, oh, there's going to be like a lot of people who have global entry. Nope. It's truly like three of us too.
Yeah. I mean, even me facing an international flight, I'm like, oh, should I do that? And then I'm like, oh, I don't know if I will.
No, 100% you should. It's like,
but I'd have to get my whole family. It just sounds like a hassle, Matt. How much does it cost?
Well, here's the other fun thing is that lots of times it's covered by your credit card. Like if you have a even like halfway fancy credit card, it probably covers your global entry fees. So I didn't have to pay it all for mine.
Oh my gosh.
The only annoying thing is that you have to go to an airport on a day that you're not flying and do this little interview thing. But truly, like for you, they probably would do it at the Burbank airport, which isn't that far. Like, you know, like you could,
you're right. Yeah. Okay. Well, honestly, a very good spiel. You're a great influencer. I think you should send this to whoever you can and get some sponsorships going for us. But I'm still, I'll let you know if and when I complete this task. But what's your most dickish thing you've ever done at an airport? Have you ever skipped a line or like
the most dickish thing I've done?
Yeah. Have you ever skipped a line or cut ahead or?
It's like, have you met me? Like,
I've never
done any of those things. I honestly am not an angry.
Do you ever sneak into the earlier boarding group, like at the tail end or something?
No.
Oh my gosh.
Okay.
Okay.
I actually have so many opinions on airports now that I think about it. One, I'm just like not a stressed person in those kind of environments. I'm like, I know we differ on this. It's like, I am a like, okay, I'm packing the world's largest bag. I'm putting everything I need in it. I'm getting to the airport early.
Gross.
I'm checking my bag so I don't have to carry it around the airport. Sort of like living footloose and fancy free. I'm like getting a Diet Coke. I'm sitting there, I'm reading my book, and I don't understand the incessant, insatiable need to get on that plane early.
Oh, I know. Like, that's crazy.
It's like, we are going to be on this plane for hours. Yeah. It's uncomfortable. It's cramped. We're all going to be sitting in there.
Yeah.
Get the boarding group 75. Like, I will be the last person on the plane happily. Also, because I don't have, because I have a checked bag, I'm not like trying to get on, you know, some giant carry-on thing.
Yeah, yeah.
And even if I am, and oh wait, I have to wait at the gate for an extra 5 minutes when the plane lands.
It's usually right there.
It's like,
that's
I'm like, fine. It doesn't like, does not bother me. Does not faze me.
Yeah.
So yeah, I'm not really like, aggressive or trying to like start issues at the airport. Yeah. I'm like, no, this is like a chill zen vibe for me. I don't mind being at the airport. The only thing that annoys me is when I'm like having to wait in the security line and people don't know what they're doing. Like chill. And yeah, so I'm like, what is the most dickish thing I've ever done in an airport? Like, I don't really think there is one.
Probably
when
nothing.
I was coming back from Paris, I had bought my friend's mom wanted a certain type of cologne or perfume, I guess, that was like going out of, like, the Louis Vuitton wasn't going to sell anymore. So she had found it in Paris and it was cheaper there. So I went to the Louis Vuitton store for her and got this cologne. And then, and I was like, okay, I'm not going to put this in my carry or my checked bag because I like don't want to lose it because it's, you know, $600 or whatever that I spent on this. And I sort of failed to realize that, oh, wait, like this is going to be a liquid. So we got to security line and they were like, wait, we need to pull you aside. And I was like, shit, this is about this perfume. And I'm like, it's too late for me to put it in my other bag. It's like $600. I'm not getting rid of this. So I sort of like had a, you know, sort of like staged a moment and was like, I absolutely like I have to go through this, like do whatever you need to with this bottle, but like it's coming with me, like I'm not, absolutely not. And so they had to like bring somebody over and look at it and rub some stuff on it and chemicals and whatnot, but it ended up getting
they let you through.
I think that this must be something that happens like decently regularly where like, it's one thing if it's a shampoo bottle or a water bottle and it's like, okay, sir, you can throw this out. It's another thing when it's like a $600 bottle of perfume. Like,
I'm so confused. You're exaggerating, right? Or is it really $600?
No, it was like hundreds of dollars. Oh my God. Was the largest bottle of like a Louis Vuitton designer
like perfume. We're talking like palm size still, or is it like Costco size?
No, it was fairly large. Like it was maybe like Diet Coke bottle sized. Gosh. So it was pretty big. But the thing is, I forgot. I sort of didn't think it was a liquid because it was all wrapped up in this like fancy box.
Right, you forget. Yeah.
So I was kind of like, oh, what? Like I was just thinking of it as like, oh, this, you know, and it was glass. So I was like, I don't want it to get broken. Yeah, you know, that was where my thought was going, not to the liquid of it all. But yes, the Paris airport people have a way of letting your liquids go through if you are an idiot like myself.
Well, they care. They care so much about the Louis Vuitton. They respect it. So it makes sense, you know?
Yeah, I guess. What's the most dickish thing you've done at the airport since this apparently is on your mind?
No, I really haven't. Like, my sister once was running super late for a flight, and she was one of those people who was like, I'm running late, and just skipped through the whole security line. But I've never done anything like that. I too don't understand the rush to get on the plane. Like, it bothers me because I feed on that, like, that energy. You're kind of like compelled to stand up when everyone else stands up, and I have to fight it. Mm-hmm. I'm like, guys, no, like, please just let's sit for a minute. Mm-hmm. But I'm trying to think. I mean, yeah, I guess I haven't caused a scene. And my greatest fear in life is being on a plane that's delayed because someone else causes a scene. Like, I don't want the TikTok moment. I don't want anyone to, I don't want anything to go down. I don't want to witness a single thing, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So, I tend to be fine at airports, I think. All in all, I feel like I'm respectful, and I listen to the TSA agents, even though they're supremely rude most of the time. I was surprised by this film, speaking of this film, 15 minutes in, but I was surprised to realize, like, I guess if I had been told to stop and think about it, I could have put this together, but it was interesting to realize there's like a hierarchy in the TSA agents, and that the like supreme spot seems to be this watching the things go through the tunnel. And the idea that you have to be like trained to like look at the, I don't know, because you always just think like, oh, okay, it's like an x-ray, you just see the picture and you say that looks suspicious, but they're like turning it and stuff, and they're like, what does this diameter mean? And I'm like, I'm amazed that that's like a full job that we've created out of absolutely thin air. Like, that's what fascinates me the most about the TSA, is that it's like new, and it's like post 9/11 that we've decided to do this. And I still, every time I'm in the airport, I question, like, how did we make this a global thing? Like, this level of security checks, like, was that decided at the UN? You know what I mean? Like, how did everyone just decide, you know what, this is what we're going to do going forward? Because it used to be so crazy. Like, I would go to the gate to meet my dad after a work trip when I was a kid, you know? And like,
well, yeah,
you would Home Alone.
Hang out at the airport, you know?
Home Alone 2, crazy situation where the kid gets on the total wrong flight. And it's like, I just wonder, like, I want to read like an oral history of the forming of the TSA, because it seems to have just been accepted so rapidly. It's created this entire industry of jobs, so it can never be de-created. And it's just like everywhere. Like, it's like you go to France, they have a similar process. You go to like anywhere and they have a similar process. So it's like, I'm just so curious about it. I'm curious about the airport history. So if anyone has a book or a podcast you can recommend, I'm really fascinated by it. And this movie didn't answer nearly enough questions. You know, it honestly brought more to the forefront. So
I'm also like, sorry that, you know, like apologies in advance for saying this, but it feels like airplane terrorism is like a very niche thing. So for us to be spending like million, like probably billions of dollars on all of the security all around the world
constantly to avoid updating,
attacks, it's like, is that a really big deal? Like, I assume that more people are like shot in supermarkets every year than have airplane, you know, terrorism. Preach. And yet it's not like, oh, we have to go through security every time we go to the grocery store or the mall. And cars are so dangerous. Like people are dying in cars all the time. And there's like very little oversight there. It's like anybody can sort of get in one. Anybody can start driving. Like you can drive drunk. You can drive whatever. It feels like
it's illegal, but yes.
Well, no, but I mean, it's like nobody's stopping that unless you get caught doing it. It's like, it feels like we should be operating on an airplane thing where it's like, oh yeah, if you get caught doing something on an airplane, like sure you get arrested, but we're not gonna like go through this whole rigmarole.
No, it's crazy.
It's very bizarre.
It's like my 60-year-old mom has to take off her shoes every time because 10 dudes got through on an airplane once. Like I'm being flippant, and I recognize, you know, like hashtag never forget, like it was a true terror attack. But it is crazy to think about how quickly and swiftly and just strategically we threw money at this problem when historically the TSA has actually not done that much. Like there's been studies after the fact that it's like, yeah, they're not really doing anything. they haven't foiled many things, right? Because one, not many people are trying, and two, like you said, it just depends on like the agent you have. Like some things get through, and like this film shows that some agents are willing to go above and beyond and being stupid in the sake of selfish choices.
Yeah, so I guess let's finally talk about Carry On, this Netflix movie. It was number one on Netflix. It stars Taron Egerton as a TSA agent who gets involved in a terrorism situation. We can get into more of the details as we go. It's from this director, Jean-Collet Serrat, who's done a bunch of these types of movies. He did The Commuter, the Liam Neeson movie. He did Nonstop, which was another airplane like terrorism movie that had Liam Neeson in it as well. He did The Shallows, which was the Blake Lively like stuck on a
so good
on a raft kind of a thing. Which, okay, fun, like, little bit of insider gossip about Blake Lively. I was talking to somebody who works at Variety, and they were talking about the Actors on Actors. And I guess the way that it works is Actors on Actors is all shot over one weekend, and it's sort of like no one's confirmed until everyone's confirmed. So there's lots of, like, negotiating as to who wants to be with who and who will be with this person. And like, everybody kind of wants to be in it.
Yeah,
so,
of course.
Everybody's sort of just up in the air until they finally peg down these arrangements because there's a lot of moving parts. But earlier this year came out that Sebastian Stan was like, oh, I wanted to do Actors on Actors, but nobody wanted to do it with me because I played Donald Trump. And so nobody wanted to talk about that. But then this person told me that actually there was one person who wanted to do it with Sebastian Stan so that they could be in one of these Actors on Actors videos. But Sebastian Stan was like, no, I will not be doing it with them. And that was Blake Lively. So we could have had a Blake Lively talking about Donald Trump.
The most unhinged
Stan video. And I'm really sad that's
an
opportunity.
Absolutely wild to think about. What would they even
talk
about?
So funny.
Sebastian Stan and Blake Lively.
Talking about
that's insulting to both of them, honestly.
The like abuse movie was. Okay, so Carry On. This movie's terrible.
What's crazy is that it's like well reviewed. Like it's like you know, it's like 67% on Metacritic. It has like 80% fresh on Rotten Tomatoes. Like, people like it. They're like, oh yeah, it's like Die Hard. And it's like, no, it's not. Okay. No, it's not. Yes, it's set at Christmas. Yes, there is a terrorist. But the Die Hard is at least entertaining and has interesting characters and like logical enough choices being made. But the entire and I'm a Shallows apologist. I love the Shallows. It's dumb and Blake Lively sitting there talking to herself and I love it. But this movie just sucks all the fun out of its own premise within 20 minutes of the setup because I feel like personally this movie would have ended 20 minutes in, as soon as someone's like, that's not my earplug, I would have just thrown it away. You know, like I wouldn't have put it in my ear, period. I would never have thought, oh, this strange earpiece came through. Let me put it inside my ear and see what's up. If I did that and someone started talking to me, immediately thrown away. You know what I mean? Like that's where my first hang up was.
I think we've just seen so many like airport movies at this point where things are happening on planes, where people are chasing people down in airports. One of the most recent, I think it was Mission Impossible, had a whole sequence like in the airport. Yeah, it's like we've seen this a lot. So it's, you're going to need to do something that's sort of fun or interesting.
Yeah.
And I think a TSA Christmas like action movie does make sense on paper. The problem with this is that like the first, it's a 2-hour long movie and the first hour is extremely boring.
Yeah.
Because the premise is there's this terrorist group.
He's not a terrorist. Okay.
Whatever. He's a mercenary or something or other. He's trying to smuggle this like sort of like powder chemical warfare situation onto this plane that's going to he's going to release, everybody's going to die, the plane's going to crash, it's going to, you know, cause issues, blah, 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 blah. So he has to get this thing through security. And so they've come up with this elaborate thing where, oh, they're going to like sort of threaten one of the TSA agents in order to let this package go through the TSA line and get it into the airport so they can get it onto this plane.
Yeah.
But then the whole first half is like, can they get this package through the TSA line? And so there's all of these issues with, oh, Taron Egerton wasn't supposed to be the person who was on the x-ray machine, but then he got switched to the x-ray machine. Okay, he has this earpiece in. They're telling him that they're going to murder his girlfriend if he doesn't let the package through. Will the package get through? Oh, like now we're switching spots. Like there's just a lot of drama around a very, very boring idea of, can we get this package through the x-ray machine? It's not like, will the plane crash? Will the whatever? It's so low stakes because it's like, we've all been through TSA. It's boring to like put the thing on. Like this should have been a beat that was like 5 minutes and then we're on to the actual plot of the movie. Yeah. And instead we spent so much time on getting this package through that I was deathly like about to fall asleep.
Yeah.
And then in the back half of the movie, when you actually sort of get to the action sequences where it's like, okay, we got to defuse a bomb and we have to chase somebody through this like sort of Monsters, Inc.-esque like baggage sorting room. And like that part, and then like, oh, Taron Egerton's like doing a battle on an airplane as it was taking off. Like that's more fun and interesting. But at that point, I was just sort of already out on the movie. And then also none of the plot stuff makes any sense.
It's
like why they're doing
so bad.
Like who they're attacking, why they're attacking. There's a whole plot line involving Danielle Deadwyler as like a cop who's investigating this stuff at the same time.
She hears one word on a choppy
recording. Yeah, that's also not, it's like, it's just boring and it doesn't make sense with the reality of an airport, which like, fine, it's an action movie, but there's just not enough action in it. And I really like Taron Egerton and I think he's a good actor, but he really didn't have that much to do here.
Yeah.
And
well, it was just like crazy how long it was and that they chose a weird frame story in that it was very similar to Die Hard, where it's sort of this like deadbeat dad who realizes he has to step up and save his family. And this is like Taron Egerton's character realizes he's about to be a father and he has to like get his shit together. But instead of making an interesting, charismatic guy, like, they just set him up to be a total loser and a creep. And it's like, well, that's the victory, because in the end, he's not a loser. He overcomes his loserness. But it's like, that's not a compelling enough character to, like, ride along with, because as you find out more about him, you're like, wow, this guy does suck, because he, like, stalked his girlfriend, supposedly. Maybe it was more romantic, but they just, like, flippantly say, like, how many times did I say no to a date with you and you got a job at my same place and then we started having lunch and it was like, that's a red flag. And then it's like, oh, he failed out of cop school. Like, that's a major red flag. Yeah. And then it's like, oh, he doesn't know how to, like, ask for a raise. Like, please. Like, it's just snoozeville. And then on top of that, you just have this really boring villain who, Jason Bateman, bless his heart, I love him when he's unhinged and he plays like a creep very well. And so there's a lot of fun here to be had, but instead they just, like, stick him behind a phone for most of it and for a very long bit of it, where it's like, if this was a masterminding terrorist, I don't think he would give the guy an hour to overthink this, you know? Like, it's like, put the headphone in the bag, like, three people before the suitcase is coming through, and, like, basically say, I'm going to kill your girlfriend unless you let this next bag through. Like, why is there so much talking and manipulating and waiting except to allow a movie to have a plot? It was just, it made him look stupid.
Yeah. Yeah. And, like, there just wasn't anything like that compelling, I feel like, in that first half. Yeah. Like, what they needed to do is let the bag go through quickly and then have it be like Taron Egerton trying to figure out a way to, like, figure out who the person is and get the bag and you know, and that kind of thing.
Because honestly, that was just a series of really, really bad choices, where I feel like if they'd set it up where, like, he goes on a bathroom break and Jason Bateman's there and he's like, oh, I know where your girlfriend is. I'm about to shoot her brains out unless you go back to your seat and do exactly what I say. Then that would, like, make more sense. But, like, the tension is just immediately deflated because it's just like this Bluetooth headphone, like, conversation, like, one-way conversation, basically. And just Taron staring at people trying to figure it out. And it's like, if you're going to try and thwart this, the time to do it is, like, immediately. Like, just stand up and yell bomb, you know? Like, it's like every single time he could have stood up and yelled bomb, he decided to do the most unhinged thing. Like, at a certain point, when he finally, like, breaks free and he's able to text his girlfriend, like, you're not safe, like, get out, instead of immediately going to airport security, aka his job, and being like, blah 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 blah, stop all planes, blah 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 blah, terrorist attack, he decides to, like, run goofily through the entire airport. And he has the weirdest run, which, honestly, if they'd played it up for laughs, great, but it was just an unfortunate, I think, coincidence. But then you have the dumb girlfriend who decides to do the most dumb thing ever done in a movie, which is somehow get into a abandoned parking lot with the murderer. And that's when I was like, okay, so no one really thought this through. Like, no one thought to think this plot through a little bit more, because you could have had the same fun of, like, having to find a bomb with a countdown, even if these characters acted in a logical way by yelling, like, oh, there's someone with a knife, like, I was just stabbed, like, shut the airport down. There's just such a lack of communication that I was honestly like, wow, this is insane. Like, it's no one is compelling enough to justify these dumb choices being made every second.
Also, I think that because we know that Jason Bateman is the murderer at the beginning, there's not, like, a sense of mystery to it.
Yeah,
I think it would have been more fun if Taron Egerton is actually, like, a fairly good TSA person who somehow screws something up and then realizes that there's a bomb in the airport.
Yeah,
and has to try to figure out, like, who has it.
Yeah,
and is, like, interviewing different people and people are acting weird and there's red herrings and it's more of a mystery of, like, can he solve this? Like, who?
Yeah.
Who's the bad guy? Well, this didn't really have any mystery to it. The mystery was, like, will the bag get through the airport security line or won't it?
Yeah.
And it was just so incredibly dull.
Yeah. And
Yeah, I really did not like this movie.
Yeah, there's a whole B plot of the person who brings the bag through isn't actually working for them. He's also being told what to do through an earpiece. So it's like a one-way conference call where Jason Bateman is like telling these men what to do. And it's like, I guess it's to like protect his identity or whatever, to have a fall guy. But ultimately, this guy who is representation matters, a person of color in a gay and marriage, gay, ultimately becomes the worst person because he's willing to kill Taron Egerton for his partner. And so, of course, he ends up dying. Like, it's like they kind of just play fast and loose with these tropes, and they don't really stop to think of like what could be the more fun bit of it. Like, it's just like it just felt patched together, and it ultimately just left me more annoyed than anything else, because there wasn't a lot of fun Christmas stuff. Like, it wasn't like a Christmas movie in the same sense of Die Hard with a Christmas party. It was like, yeah, it's a busy day at the airport. And then to have this like bag that sort of, yeah, it just started to frustrate, because in the end it's like, oh, the big twist is that Jason Bateman's getting on another plane, which again just proves to me personally how dumb the TSA is, because the flight, I don't know, overseer is like, we'll just close down one terminal. I'm not going to close down the airport, even though there's an active bomb threat and all the terminals at LAX are connected. Like, you know, it's just like illogical.
Oh, yeah. That is insane too, because like anyone who's ever been at an airport knows that they do not give a flying shit about the people who are stuck there. Like, yeah, exactly. They are shutting things down. They are going as slow as they want. Yeah. No one's like, we got to get these people to their families on Christmas. Like, we can't shut down the airport that has an active like bomb and people like running around. Like, no, not a chance in hell.
Crazy. So, and then they take off. They're like, that was the wildest.
They're twist. Like, we gotta take off, or otherwise he's gonna release the toxins. It's like, what?
I'm like, I don't think Jason Bateman's ever been on a plane where it's not delayed on the tarmac. Like, there's so many excuses you could give that aren't, we think there's an active bomb on this plane.
Right, yes. Like, you could use, oh, there's 12 planes in front of us due to inclement weather in Minnesota. You know, it's like, oh, yeah, you can.
And they just let this TSA agent roll onto the plane to then, like, defuse the bomb, which is just a crazy choice from
and
the
cops. Also, like, sorry, if we're releasing nerve gas onto an airplane, it feels like you might be able to save somebody if the plane is grounded and they can like roll out of the emergency exit. If it's in the air, not only are all those people dying, but the plane could crash in, oh, I don't know, Los Angeles, where it could take out a whole bunch of other people. The whole thing was just so
This is so dumb. And somehow, this is what confused me too, is that Taron Egerton's big, like, thinking ahead, I'm not a loser shtick, is that he switched the suitcases somehow. And I just had a question, because it seemed pretty built into the system. Like, it seemed pretty like the bomb was the shell of the...
Yes.
Mm-hmm. But somehow 100%. He was able to find a similar baggage, like, just big enough to not fit into the overhead bins,
right,
and switch this out somehow while being tailed by Jason Bateman in the bowels of the airport. And it was just like, it was meant to be like this haha like thing, but it was just so laughably like dumb that it's just, there's just so many points in the second half especially where this all could have been stopped by just going in a public space and yelling bomb. Like, it's like, it's fine, that's what we've been trained to do. Like, there's systems in place to like figure out how to, you know, clear out a place and then defuse a bomb. Like, I feel like the stakes weren't necessarily high enough in my mind, because at one point Jason Bateman's character does set off the time, and that was like, okay, yeah, you have 10 minutes, you're gonna go and like defuse this. But that was also wrapped up in like having to kill his boss, and I was like, no, it's not, just say there's a bomb and there's a guy on my ear telling me how to defuse it. Like, it was just very confusing, like the secondary reactions to these choices that seemed like to have a very logical solution.
I also think if you're going to do the earpiece move, you need to make the things that the person is doing more interesting and fun.
Yeah.
It like has to be, because I'm trying to think of movies that have done this, but I feel like I have watched this happen in movies where it's sort of like, okay, like knock over that person. Okay, take, like grab this right now. Do like more of, like when he said shoot your boss, like I was like, okay, that is actually like a more fun sort
yeah,
of
like
element upstate, to this. Yeah. Right. Where it's sort of like, there's a bag coming through, you have to let through. It's like, that's boring.
Yeah.
You need to force him to do more weird
yeah.
shit
yeah.
than you like, did. We're going to spend the whole, yeah. Right, which was funny, but like that wasn't even what he made this guy do. Like that was Taron Egerton's own choice. And was that resolved at the end? I like
friends because he was able to say, "Nah, he wasn't actually drinking," and they just.
Oh yeah.
That the whole like 1 year later epilogue was absolutely unhinged to me because I personally believe that if you are part of a reason that 2 to 3 people are killed, maybe you shouldn't become a cop after already failing to become a cop, you know? Like, I feel like, you know, he shouldn't go to prison or whatever. There was extenuating circumstances, but maybe he shouldn't be rewarded for it, right? Like, it's like, I think he wasn't a good agent in that instance, so why level him up to federal, you know? Like, I was just like, and then they were friends again with the guy that he sort of framed for alcoholism on the job, but they were going on a trip together. I don't know. It was very cutesy, pointless, and I feel like it wasn't earned or interesting because I also don't think you should be able to become a badge carrying cop within a single calendar year.
Yeah.
Personally. And also, I mean, ACAB, you know, through and through. So that was not a happy ending for me personally.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, 100%.
Yeah, it was just, yeah. And also the final speech of like Jason Bateman being like, "You're a loser, you're asleep, and you're a loser." Iconic. But Taron Egerton's like comeback is basically, "Well, I'm awake now."
Mm-hmm.
Which honestly, if it had been played for laugh or camp, it would have been iconic. But instead, it was sort of like, "Oh, honey, like you're still kind of pathetic. Like you're still kind of sad. Like you know, this is still kind of like he did read you filthy. Like you know, that's who you are. Like just own it, I guess."
I still can't get over the fact that he basically like stalked the wife or the girlfriend across the country too, because that was literally just such like a bad yeah. character note. Such and I think that note. Sometimes in movies, you sort of start with a like, oh, he got kicked out of the police force. And then later on, they do a reveal where it's like, oh, he got kicked out because he was saving someone's daughter. Yeah. You know, like that kind of thing where it's actually like a good thing that he was kicked out.
Yeah.
Where this never really did that. Like it didn't really,
so weird.
I felt like, give me a good reason for why he stalked her, why he couldn't get through the police thing. Like
it was because he like lied about his dad being a criminal or something
on a lie detector test, which I was like, is that part of the police
interview?
Like police academy testing, you have to go through a lie detector test, and they're like, have you ever worked on the law? And he's like, yeah, no, this movie is bad. I did not like it. It's destined to be one of those movies that like nobody
talks about ever,
you know
again.
What I mean, like yeah.
If you need an action-packed Christmas movie, you'll always choose Die Hard. Like, this was just nothing. It was, and the girlfriend was so bad. I honestly, at first, I was like, oh, is that Melissa Barrera? And then very quickly was like, oh, no, that's not at all. That's not a talented person. And I'm sorry for her. I don't think she was given much to work with. But everything about her was very painful. Taron Egerton's physicality in this role was very, very fascinating to me. And Jason Bateman was not given enough space to be unhinged. And all the side characters were boring. Like the best friend, it was just
I kept getting the TSA people mixed up because they were all like sort of snoozes.
Yes. The boss. Yeah. Like, and then the like, I'm a rapper, guys. Like come listen to my music. Like was very confusing and also, I figured, would have to do something unhinged, like start performing in the middle of the, you know, the fanciest atrium, or like breaking into an whatever. Like, they weren't given anything fun to do, basically. It was just like, oh, look, I got this text. And she's like, huh, how fascinating. What a strange text. And it's like, I just had questions about their training, because it seems like the one thing the TSA should be good at is handling, like, threats. And mm-hmm. they just all seemed very unsure of what to do in every given situation.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, it was a real dud. I was really holding out hope for it. And I was surprised to see how positively it was received, because to me, it was not tense. It was not action packed. It was not, oh my gosh, ending explained worthy. Like, it was just kind of, it was basically AI generated. Oh,
yeah.
A carry on bag on the plane. Like,
yeah.
There was like a politician storyline that made no sense. The baby.
Oh yeah. Oh yeah. The politicians. Yeah, that was like, it was so confusing and convoluted. Like, oh, we're gonna bomb up the plane because then that will make it seem like somebody in Russia did this, so that then we can get this bill passed. It was like, what? Like, this is so many like different degrees of mental chess.
Yeah.
That does not seem like it's actually going to work out in the way that you think it is. Ugh. No. Yeah. Bad movie. Bad movie. Yeah.
And the old cop got killed. And nobody had follow-up questions.
And so did the gay guy.
Oh, yeah.
The poor gay guy.
Yeah.
And the cop. And to be fair, if someone told me, oh, you have to kill a cop / TSA agent, or your beloved gay husband will get killed. Like, sorry, I know what I'm doing.
That was my question, is what responsibility would you feel as a TSA agent to let a bomb through, unspecified, or save your partner, your pregnant partner? My God.
I mean, I think that if I was the TSA agent, I feel like, I don't know, like, sort of what oaths I've taken or whatever, but I do feel like that, yeah, that's like a big responsibility to be like, okay, 300 people are dying or whatever, especially since like Taryn Edgerton sort of like, well, it eventually like knows what's going on.
Yeah.
If someone approaches me and is like, you have to get this through security or we're going to kill your husband, I think I'm saying, you know what? Like,
let's roll the dice.
And also, I don't know what's in this bag. Like, who knows what? Like, I'm thinking like this could be cocaine. Like, who knows what this is? Like, I'm taking it through, and you know what? Like, this is not my, like, I'm not responsible for this. The terrorists are responsible for this.
Exactly.
I'm sort of a mechanism in this pipeline.
Better to ask forgiveness than permission. Yeah.
Right. Yeah. It's like, I'm not asking further questions about what's in the bag. I'm just doing it.
Well, that's what I would do. That's my strategy. Is I would be like, okay, I'll agree with it. I won't worry about it until I see what's in the bag. Like, if I'm the TSA agent. Right. And then if I'm like, oh shit, it's a bomb, I would just cough really loudly and the guy behind me would turn and look and say, oh shit, it's a bomb. You know what I mean? Like, it just seemed like there were opportunities for this to be solved without my direct involvement. And I don't think I could let a bomb through morally.
I also think that in my case, I'm always going to be safe because I am going to get to the airport and go through security before the terrorist gets there for my flight. You know
not
what I mean?
In this, like, film, he's like, very ahead. He's very early to his flight. Okay.
He
had 2 hours to kill and he just wanted to talk to this TSA dude.
Ugh.
Yeah. It wasn't very fun.
Well, yeah, but he was there before the, like, before the I don't know. Anyways, okay, I've had enough talking about this movie. I actually can't think about it anymore. I'm not flying again for Christmas, so I don't have to worry about this.
Yeah.
I'm just going to be in New York.
Yeah.
And we're off next week for the holidays. Yeah. Yes? You're gone?
Yes, and I'll be driving, so also super safe.
Yes, very safe. Nobody's ever died driving, but a lot of people have died
from terrorist attacks. From biological weapons on planes,
mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So
thoughts and prayers with everyone in the air this year. Hopefully this nightmare fuel doesn't keep you up.
Yeah, well, I'll just be taking a subway or whatever, where, again, I think more people probably die every year on a subway, but
Yeah, we're going to start lobbying to dismantle the TSA, and this movie will be our reason why.
Yes. Have you seen Carrie Ann? We got to get rid of this.
Yeah.
Well, have a very happy holidays, yes, Chelsea, yes. And also to our listeners. And we'll be back in 2025 to discuss more unhinged films. And you know that 2025 is going to bring a whole bunch of bad movies for the first 3 months. Yeah. So I mean, there's nothing good coming. Well, that is actually comes out this week, so we're mercifully missing that.
Yeah. But too late.
Old there news. Are some bangers on the soundtrack, even though that movie is famous, I will say. So
you're Lin-Manuel apologist now.
Because I've also listened to the Moana soundtrack, and I'm like, we can tell. Yeah. Like, Lin-Manuel, there's one song in Mufasa that is actually terrible, that is the level of that bad song in Little Mermaid.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
But there are a couple of songs where I was like, oh, this is so effing catchy. And, like, this is, like, if people
it's
actually,
2014
go, see, if children
all over
actually
again.
Go see this movie, yeah, it's yeah. going to be another iteration of, like, Let It Go or We Don't Talk About Bruno or whatnot. So, yes. Well, thank you for another great year, Shelby.
Yes,
and I will see you in 2025.
Yay!
Okay, bye everybody.